Good morning. Today's Daf and Rosh Hashanah's Dalet. We are on the very bottom of Gimel Amud Beis and a study of Koresh, Daryavesh. Same person. Artach Shasta. Okay, the Gemara has been spending so far since the beginning of the Masechta focusing on the first of the Rosh Hashanahs, which is the first day of Nisan. The first day of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for both Malachim and Regalim. So today we're going to wrap up a 2.5 day discussion. Daf Beis Gimel and half of Dalet are dedicated to the topic of Nisan being Rosh Hashanah for the Malachim. And then over the course of today's Daf, we're going to move on to Regalim. As far as the Melech is concerned, so Lagabe, what halacha are we talking about? So as we've been discussing now for the last 2 days, so we're talking about the halacha of Shtaros. We want to date our documents, and we want to date our documents correctly. Correctly just simply means we want to know that we're all speaking about the same date. So we're gonna date the documents based on the year of the king, and how are we dating the king? Meaning, on what basis are we saying that it's the king's first year, second year, third year of his reign? So it depends. If we're talking about a Jewish king or a non-Jewish king. By Jewish king, so the rollover is going to be on the first day of Nisan. So once you get the first day of Nisan, so that's going to be the rollover year for that king. The king is now going to be in the next year of his reign. That's as far as Jewish kings are concerned. Non-Jewish kings. So Tishrei is going to be the rollover date. Where does it get confusing? So it gets confusing by the Persian king. So the Persian king, known as Daryavish, also known as Koresh, also known as Artashasta, and it gets confusing because there are other Persian kings by the name of Koresh and Daryavish. Okay, so it gets a little bit confusing. But meanwhile, we are discussing the Persian king that is found in Sefer Ezra and Sefer Nehemiah, who allowed for the rebuilding of Bais Sheni. So by him, so the Gemara says, so how do we date him? So it does get a little bit confusing. So some psukim indicate that we dated him based on Nisan, meaning that his rollover year was a Nisan. Other psukim say that it was a Nisan, which presumably means it was Tishrei. Well, which one up was it? So we ended off yesterday by pointing out, well, excuse me. Well, he went through a bit of a change. He soured. He started off as a good king and a really good king. In fact, he was such a good king that the Jewish people were so enamored with him that they started dating him like a Jewish king. In other words, just like a Jewish king, Nisan would be the rollover year. So that's how they treated Koresh. He was a Melech Kasher. In fact, it's built into the name, the Gemara said yesterday, that the word Koresh actually has the same letters as the word Kasher. And he was a Melech Kasher. On the other hand, there came a point in time where he was Machmitz, where he soured to the Jewish people. And from that point going forward, so they stopped dating him from Nisan, but rather they went back to Tishrei. Okay, was there political fallout when they did that? I would imagine, but the Gemara doesn't really discuss that. Is it confusing for anyone who had documents? Again, I would imagine it'd be very confusing, but the Gemara doesn't discuss that as well. Anyway, the Maskeflor of Kahana. So we're picking it up right where we left off yesterday on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. So Rav Kahana asked the following question: Umihich mitzvah aksiv. Now this is going to be a really difficult argument to make that he soured, as the Gemara now is going to extensively quote from Pesukim in Ezra and Nehemiah. And say for Daniel as well. And there is a good amount of evidence, a lot of evidence that would seem to suggest that there was no souring. In fact, just the opposite. The man really not just encouraged, funded, or supervised the building of the second base of Mikdash. So we start with a pasuk in the sixth parak of Ezra. Umach ashkanu v'netarnu d'chirin v'amarin la'alon la'ela shmaya. Now, if it's going to be hard to translate, it's because this is now in Aramaic, and a dialect to boot. So we're going to struggle a little bit in terms of the psukim, but the basic idea is that what the king is now telling Ezra is that you're going to bring all these types of animals, right? Torin, Dacharna, Amarin, right? The birds, sheep, rams and sheep. And what you're going to do is you're going to bring it up as karbanos, meaning what I want is that I want there to be a base of mikdash. This is the key, the Persian king talking. I want there to be a base of mikdash, and I want karbanos to be offered. So, la'ala shemaya, chantin melech, chamar, umashach, and wine and oil. Kemamar kahanya di b'Yerushalayim lahu mejav lahem yom b'yom day lo shalo. And how much funding is there going to be? Unlimited funding. Okay, so there's not going to be a budget, and you just simply tell me what you need, and I'm going to provide it. Okay, so it doesn't sound like we're talking about somebody who soured. So Amala Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Mutunach. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, you know what? Let's go right back to those psukim. Meaning, I'm going to still make the argument that he was machmitz, and I know the psukim sound like he was incredibly philanthropic, but nevertheless, just keep reading, and we're just reading now, continuing in the psukim. So it's going to serve as a rech nichoch for Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Umatlin lachaimaku v'noe, and what you're going to do now is you're going to daven for both the king. You're going to daven for his children as well. Oh, okay, fine. Meaning, basically, what I want is I want the Beis Hamikdash so that you can supplicate Hakadosh Baruch Hu on my behalf. Okay, so it was selfish motivation. That's Gemara says that's the raya that he was in fact machmitz. Uman David Hachalav Mal Yosahid. The Gemara says, really, is that so bad? In other words, you're going to do a mitzvah and you have some selfish motivation. That's not so bad. V'hatanya, we learned in the Braisa, Omer Salazu Litzaka B'shu Shiachim B'ni. Uvishvul Shaz Kabbalah Chayelam Abba HaRez Zesari Gamar. A person gives Tzaka so that his son lives, so that he will be Zochah for Olam Abba. So you are considered a Tzadik Gamar. So you give Tzaka even though there are ulterior motivations and selfish motivations, nevertheless, that's fine. More than fine. The Braisa said Tzadik Gamar. So the Gemara says, Lo Kashikam Yisro Kambav Dikochavim. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, there's a difference when a Jew does it versus a non-Jew that does that. Okay, and Rashi writes the following. Rashi writes, what's the difference? Kam Yisrael. He writes, Shalibo Shamayim. Because really, when all said and done, so he's got the right kavana. Rashi writes, V'im Miriam lo bechayav, ain't a korla tagar. And let's say he doesn't get what he demanded. It wasn't a demand. It was a request. It was a petition. And he's not going to complain afterwards if, in fact, it doesn't materialize. Okay. However, Tola Yisurim be'avono. And he'll just simply assume that, okay, in other words, I have avonos, and okay, for reasons that are my fault and my responsibility, I wasn't worthy. But when it comes to a guy, so there is generally speaking, there's not going to be an acceptance of personal responsibility. He gave tzedakah so that something will happen. If it doesn't happen, okay, he's not going to be happy. He's not going to look inward in terms of maybe it's my fault. Back to the Gemara, Dala Manalef, about 10 lines down. The Gemara is going to give a number of other sources that would seem to suggest and indicate that the Persian king in fact soured. So Minal de Achmitz Dechsiv. So here we go to other psukim, same parak in Ezra. Nid Vachin. The Evan Galal Tlasa. So we're talking now about the details of the construction of the second base of Mikdash. So it's going to be marble, and it's going to be three rows high. V'nidvach di acharat v'nafkasa min bais malka tisyahev, and it's going to be made up of stone and of wood, and all of it's going to come out of my treasury. I'm paying for the expenses. So, Lamale David Hachi. Now, the Gemara says the following. Why specifically in this formula? Meaning, why the construction material being made out of wood in addition to stone? So, Savri, Mar Dube Yehuda Ikla Benura. So, he says, look, in other words, this is going to basically be for me an emergency, in case of emergency. So, the expression is break glass. So, in case of emergency, burn down the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, I'm basically going to make the Beis HaMikdash flammable. So if I need to, I'll burn down the base of Mikdash. So Atu Shlomo lo Avid Hachid, the Gemara says, now wait 1 second, let's compare, let's contrast. Shlomo HaMelech built the base of Mikdash. He also included wood as part of the construction. V'aksiv Shosha Terei Gazis V'Tor Karti Darazim. So back in Malachim Aleph, in the sixth parak, which we also just spent a little bit of time with a couple days ago in the Daf, so there Shlomo HaMelech is building a base of Mikdash that's clearly constructed out of wood, or part of it's made out of wood. Some of it's made out of stone, but some of it's made out of wood, arazim, cedar wood. So the Gemara says, okay, that's true, but there are basic differences to lay out between the building of the Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo Melech and that was made by Koresh. So Shlomo Ave Milamalavi Ave Milamata. So Shlomo Melech, so he put the wood in, but towards the top. As far as Koresh is concerned, again, Koresh Dayavish, right? That Persian king is just an easier way to describe it. Okay. So, and as far as the Persian king is concerned, so the wood was on the bottom, meaning so that he could light it if necessary. And Shlomo Shake Bivinyana, Yilo Shake Bivinyana. As far as Shlomo HaMelech is concerned, so the wood was recessed into the construction. So it was harder to burn. On the other hand, the way the Persian king made it, it was exposed. Shlomo Sajib Basida, Ilo Sajib Basida. And also, Shlomo built it to code. The wood was plastered, so it wouldn't burn. And meanwhile, when the Persian king made the Beis HaMikdash, the wood was exposed, the wood was not plastered. Okay, so the Gemara over here, once again, assumes that as much as you read the Psukim, and the simple pshat on the Psukim is that this man is responsible for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, so that's true, but he had a lot of ulterior motivation, and if you read carefully, you could see that he wasn't as benevolent as the Psukim would seem to indicate. Rav Yosef, Item Rav Yitzchak Min Elanda Achmed, the Gemara is now going to give a third source. Okay, the Gemara is really, really committed to this point. Okay, so we go back to a pasuk in Nehemiah. It happens to be that we quote from this pasuk in Nehemiah in yesterday's daf. So the second paragraph of Nehemiah. So we're describing the king, and we're describing the shagal that was next to him. So yesterday, as we went through the pasukim, so we pointed out that the shagal is the simple pshan, the word shagal is its queen. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not how we're going to understand it. So Amar Rabba Bar Lima Mishmei Derav Kavasa. So the shagal over here is a reference to his dog. And Rashi writes over here, Rashi writes graphically, Lemishkov. So the dog that he performed acts of bestiality. Rashi writes of Neinoch Uzara Kach. Now we know that of the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Neinoch, this is one of them. Shenemra Vayula Basar Echad, Yasubahim of Achaivov, Shenem Nasim Basar Echad, Shein Yoldim in Adam. In other words, the mitzvah of Puravu requires not just for Jew, but for non-Jew alike, so that the union and intimacy would lead to procreation. So over here, obviously, with bestiality will not result in procreation. And so therefore, it's a Isser not just for Jew, but for non-Jew as well. Okay, so Elam Yatzos, the Gemara says, Hadich Siv. So this is going to be very difficult. Meaning what the Gemara now is going to, what the Gemara is arguing and going to try to argue is that the Shagal that was sitting next to the Persian king was not a queen, but rather a dog that he treated like the queen. But the Gemara says, but that's a little bit difficult. Let's take a look at a couple of other psukim. The Amar Shma Yisra Mamta, Ulamanya Dibesa Hitav Kadamach. So here now in Sefer Daniel, so the Navi is giving Tochacha to the king. And he says, look, you're elevating yourself. Va'ant u ravanachsech shagaltech l'chanasech chamar shasim bahon. And what you're doing with the clay mikdash is you're drinking from the clay mikdash. You're drinking wine. You, your wife, your children. Anyway, it says in the pasuk in Daniel, shagaltech, your wife. So you're telling me that the shagal is a reference to a dog. The dog is drinking wine. V'shagal kavasi kavasa bas mishtai chamrihi. That's strange. So the Gemara says, halokasha, hadamilfala v'shasaya. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you can train a dog. In other words, okay, you're right. It's unusual for dogs to drink wine, but the dog can be trained. So the Gemara says, okay, I still have another. It's really difficult to suggest that the Shagal is a reference to a dog. Consider now the following pasuk in Tehillim. Benos malachim bikurisech nitzava shagel yiminech bekesem ofir. Okay, so in the times of the Mashiach, so kings will come in your honor. The queen will be to your right. You'll be wearing jewelry. Okay. Now, once again, shagal yiminech. That does not sound like we're talking about a dog. So the ishagam kavasihi maika mevasulu navli yisrael. So that sounds really strange. Meaning that's a picture into the future of the Yemos Mashiach. That's obviously really strange. So hachi kamar. Now, if you think that's strange, the Gemara now is going to attempt to give a drasha, which is going to be a little bit strange. So, b'schar shechaviv atar liyisrael kishagal avdi kochavim zechisim lekesem ofir. Okay, so maybe the pasuk could be understood in the following drasha, and that is that we love Torah. How much do we love Torah? The same way that a non-Jew loves loves acts of bestiality. Now, that's an unusual description over here, and that is certainly a strange parallel. Okay, but if we do, so then zechisim lekesem ofir. So then we're going to be receiving jewelry. Jewelry over here, probably. Not probably, definitely. Does not mean the physical jewelry, but in other words, we'll have spiritual elevation. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay. Now, as difficult as it was to suggest that the shagal is a reference to a dog, so the Gemara says, okay, maybe let's go with the simple pshat. The word shagal itself actually means a queen. That's what it means. Simple pshat. And then you go back over the three different psukim that we saw the word shagal. It means a queen. Virava barlima gamar gamir la. But it's not going to change his position. Meaning that the Persian king was involved in bestiality. And over here, even though the pashup pshat, the word shagal, is a reference to a queen, but he had a tradition that he was involved in bestiality. And so why now are we referring to the dog as a queen? Meaning that the pashup shah, the word shagal, is queen. So why call the dog a queen? Because he liked the dog as much as he liked the queen. Inami shoshiva b'makom shagal. Alternatively, it could very well be that where did the dog sit? Dog sat the same place where the queen was supposed to be sitting. Now is going to give a fourth possible source that teaches us that he was that he soured. So mehachad kasef ki karin mea v'ad chantin karin mea v'ad chamer bitin mea v'ad batim mashach mea umalach dilo kasav. So the miikara below kitzusa v'ashav kitzusa. So here now we're going a little bit ahead in Sefer Ezra, one parak ahead. And what do we find over here? Budgets. In other words, everything is given us a spending limit. So one parak previously said, you know what I'm going to provide? Whatever you need. With unlimited budget. And over here, limited. In other words, a budget. So, v'dilma mikar lo havakim le b'kitzusa, the Gemara says, that's not solid evidence. In other words, previously he didn't know what it was, so he just simply said, no spending limit. But once he found out how much it costs, so then he put on a spending limit. So the Gemara says, from that pasuk, I'm not so sure if it's so glad, it's so clear that that he soured. Ela machvarta kiddishanina mikar. So the Gemara says, okay. So that fourth source is not compelling. Go back to any one of the three previous sources. Okay. So that's an amud of Gemara. It's a lot of real estate in the Gemara, making the case, making the argument that Daryavish soured. Started off as Melch Kasher. Right, the Daryavish Koresh Artach Shachta, all one and the same. So he started off as being a really, really righteous individual. And again, the simple pshat on the psukim. Right, he facilitated and funded the building of the second base of Mikdash. So the on one hand, on the other hand, came a point in time where he soured. He was not as benevolent as it would indicate. Although in the psukim themselves, it doesn't say beferish, and what the Gemara spent an amma doing is reading into the psukim in order to arrive at that conclusion. And why? Let's just remind each other. Why did we go through that exercise? That was a lot of precious real estate of the Gemara to make the case that he soured. So really what it all comes back to is the dating problem. In other words, so as a king, so how did we, what was his rollover month? So was it Nisan or was it Tishrei? The answer is yes. It was both. So how did you get there? So Gemara says good. So once we are now given a more complicated view of where he stood with us, where we stood with him, so then you realize that there were really two tkufas of his life. The first tkufa of his life, so he was dated like a Jewish king, where Nisan became his rollover month, and then once he soured, so then Tishrei became his rollover date like a non-Jewish king. Okay. That kind of takes us to the first half of today's daf, part two. Part two now in today's daf, so we're going to be starting the discussion of Regalim. So remember, the first day of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for Malachim and for Regalim. So for the first 2.5 daf in Mavar Masechta, so we talked about how it affects Malachim in terms of establishing their reign and when's going to be the next year of their reign. So that's the first day of Nisan for Jewish kings. And now Regal. So we say that when we get to Nisan, so it is Rosh Hashanah for Regalim. Okay. I hear the question. I have a great suggestion. Okay. So Uli Regalim. Regalim Be'echa B'Nisan Hu. Be'chamisha Asar B'Nisan. So first things first, the Gemara says, what are we talking about when we're saying Regalim? So we are obviously referring to the fact that Pesach is the first of the Yontifs, for what halacha we're going to see in just a moment. But it's not the first day of Nisan, meaning let's just try to resolve a really simple question in the Mishnah. right? We're saying that it's significant because it's the first day of the month. No, it's not the first day of the month. Nisan is the 15th day of the month. So what does that mean, the first day of the month? So Amar of Chista, Regal Shabbat Rosh Hashanah L'Regalim. Okay, the Gemara says, you're right. What you're going to have to read into the Mishnah is that, you know what happens on the first day of Nisan? We started a month where it's going to be significant. Where in 2 weeks from now, a little more than 2 weeks from now, so we're going to hit the first Yontif of the three Regalim. Okay. Challenging read in the Mishnah, but you have to say that. Because it's not, for Regalim, it's not the first day of Nisan that's significant. It's the 15th, which is significant. Okay. Balamai Nafkamina. But now, of course, we get to this very simple question of, okay, good. So now it's the 15th day of Nisan, otherwise known as Pesach, and that's really significant. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's the first of the year. So the Gemara's question here is really simple. For what? So the Gemara's answer is, Lenoder, Lemeka Malab Aval Ta'acher. So the Gemara says, in terms of violating the Isra Aval Ta'acher, so the Torah says that once you make a commitment, a pledge to the Beis Hamikdash, so now there is a deadline. You must bring your carbon by a certain date. And if you do not do so, you'll be in violation of a law in the Torah. Okay. So it's a law shame b'maisa. There's no action. In other words, it's the inactivity of not bringing your carbon on time. So at that point in time, now you're violating a law. Okay. Now the Gemara wants to know, okay, good. So when are you violating that law? So the Torah itself is not clear. The Torah just simply says, lo se'acher, right? Don't delay it. So now the Gemara is going to explain. So lemekam alav b'val te'acher. And Rabbi Shimon, it's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya Valentin Abraisa. So this part of the Gemara is going to get a little bit complicated. It's not overly complicated, in which the Tanaim are going to be in disagreement over when exactly one is violating the Isra of b'val te'acher. Now, when I say disagreement, I mean five different opinions amongst the Tanaim in terms of when one violates the Isra b'al Te'acher. Well, the good news is that our Mishnah is going to be clearly subscribing to one of the five opinions, and we get to see a Braisa. So when you make any kind of pledge to the Beis HaMikdash, and it could come in the form of Neder or Makdish or Marich, and again, those are all slightly different vehicles of how to donate to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not going to go through the details right now in terms of what they are. They're just all different ways to be Makdish. So when, at what point in time is one violating the law of Baal Te'acher? Three yontifs. Now, according to the Tanakhama, any three yontifs, meaning it doesn't matter sequence. And so as long as you have now went over three yontifs, so it could be, going over three yontifs can be done in the span of a little over 6 months, right? In other words, let's say you made your neder right before Pesach. So then you're going to have, right, Pesach already, that's Yontif number one, and then Shavuos, and then Sukkah 6 months later, after Pesach. So at that point in time, so now you're in violation of Baal Te'acher. But according to the Tanakhama, it doesn't have to be in that order. According to the Tanakhama, it could be Shavuos, Sukkah, and then Pesach, which would be nearly 9 months later, 10 months later. Okay, anyway, so according to the Tanakhama, so once you go over three Yamin Tovim, and it doesn't matter the order, so then you're in violation of Baal Te'acher. Rabbi Shimon, Omer Gimel Galim Kisidram, V'chag Amasos Tchila. So Rabbi Shimon's of the position that it's got to be sequenced. It's got to be starting with Pesach, three Yamim Tovim. And it has to start with Pesach. V'chein Ayer Rabbi Shimon Miyochai Omer Regalim Pamim, Gimel Pamim Dala Pamim Chamisha. Ketza Nadu Lefnei Pesach Gimel Lefnei Atzeres Chamisha Lefnei HaChag Arba'am. So it has to be that you are going to be crossing over three Yamim Tovim, but it's got to be sequentially Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, and you have to first hit Pesach. So that means to say, as the Braisa just got done saying, that according to Rabbi Shimon, there can be scenarios in which you will have to cross over five Yamim Tovim in order to violate Baal Te'acher. Right? Simple illustration, you made your neder immediately after Pesach, so now the clock hasn't started yet, meaning, so now you hit Shavuos, okay, fine, but in other words, but you haven't gone over Pesach, so that first Shavuos is not counting. Then you've gone over Sukkos, so again, it doesn't count. Now, almost a year later, now it's Pesach, now that's one. And Shavuos will be two, and Sukkos will be three, so you went over five Yamim Tovim before violating the Isra Baal Te'acher. Now, but on the other hand, if you make your neder immediately before Pesach, so now you have just a little over 6 months to bring your carbon. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. So the Gemara now is going to be quoting another Braisa, and this second Braisa is going to be more expansive. So far, our first Braisa has introduced us to two opinions. So I promised you this morning five opinions. Yeah, because it's coming. So Tanu Rabbanan, so here the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Chayvei ha-damin v'harachin ha-charamim v'ha-akdeshos. So again, different vehicles of how a person can donate money to the Beis HaMikdash. It could be done either via damim, erchin, or charamim, or simple hekdeshos. Okay, I'm just not going to go through right now the differences between these different types of donations, or chataos, or ashamos, olos ushlamim, even karbanos as well. Meaning, once you make a pledge to bring a particular karban, so once again, you're on the clock. Tzidakos. Okay, this one's an interesting one. So, tzedaka. Charity. So, you're on the clock for charity. Now, Tosfos over here is bothered because you have an ani in front of you. What does it mean you're on the clock? You'll say, look, I got time. All right, I'm not gonna give you right now. And meanwhile, the Gemara, it's a Gemara later on in our very perek, right here in Rosh Hashanah. Right? Tosfos quotes it on Daf Vav. So, tzedaka mechayev al altar. So, somebody comes knocking on your door, you have to give tzedaka immediately. So what does it mean that you have three regalim to bring tzedakah? Okay, so Tosfos addresses that point. But anyway, Masros, Bechor, Umaiser, Upesach. And as far as Maiser, Bechor, Masros, Bechor, Maiser over here is a reference to Maiser Behema and Karm Pesach. So these are also subject to Baal Te'acher. And again, all these become really interesting. So as far as Maiser is concerned, so we know that at the end of year number three and the end of year number six, so you have what's called vidu and meiser, where you have to get rid of all your meiser. And so our Gemara makes it sound like you have three yamim tovim in order to do so. And meanwhile, we know there's something called biur meiser. Okay, so that, and again, all I'm doing is just I'm teeing up Tosfos, but we're not going to go through the Tosfos inside where he addresses that. Now, as far as bechor and meiser are concerned, and meiser over here being meiser behema. Okay, so again, you're on the clock for that. Karban Pesach, right? Karban Pesach is really unusual. Meaning, if you were makdish a Karban Pesach, so you have to bring it in the upcoming Pesach, right? If you don't bring it this upcoming Pesach, so that's it. In other words, the Karban Pesach has to be ben shana. It has to be within its first year of life. You can't bring it next year. So probably what the Braisa means is that when it says Karban Pesach, it means that you weren't makdish the animal. You set aside money in order to bring the Karban Pesach. Okay, that is most probably what it means. We move on to Daf Dalam and Beis as we now continue in this Braisa. Leket Shechecha Peya. So those are Matanos and Aniyim. Various parts of the field need to be given over to the Ani. Again, I'm not going to go right now through the details of what each one is. Kevan Shavar Olem Gimel Regalem over Beval Teacher. So according to the Tanakama, see, once you cross three yontifs and not fulfilled your pledge, so now you're in violation of Baal Te'acher. Okay, good. The Tanakam of this Braisa, same as the Tanakam of the previous Braisa. Rabbi Shimon Amar Shosh Regalim Kisidram. V'chag HaMatzos Tchila. And then the Braisa introduces us to Rabbi Shimon, but we know Rabbi Shimon already because once again, we saw Rabbi Shimon in the previous Braisa. So far, the first two opinions over here are the same as the previous two. Rabbi Meir, Omer Kevin Shavar Aleim Regal Echad over Beval Te'acher. So Rabbi Meir takes the most Chamer Shita, and that is one Yontif. You have all but one Yontif. If you do not bring your Neder, the first Yontif opportunity, so already you're in violation of Baal Te'acher. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer Kevin Shavar Aleim, Shnei Regalim over Beval Te'acher. According to Shitas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you have two Yontifs. And finally, the third Shita, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer Kevin Shavar Aleim, Chagasukos over Aleim Beval Te'acher. So, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, similar to Rabbi Meir, that's one yontif, but it's a specific yontif. Notably, it's the yontif of Sukkos. So, it doesn't matter where you are any other time of the year. Once you hit Sukkos, you're in violation of Baal Te'acher. Okay. Which means, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, if you made your neder before Pesach, so that means that you have three yontifs. But it's not because Pesach is significant, it's just simply because Sukkos and only Sukkos is significant, vis-a-vis the Yisr of Baal Te'acher. Okay. Yeah. Again, Tosfos over here is also Tosfos is bothered by your question. Tosfos also tries to explain how one can be violating Baal Te'achar as it relates to the Lekha and Shechach and Peah. Okay. See the Taptosis over here. Okay, my timer. Okay, so now we are provided five different opinions in the Braisa. And so what we're going to do now for the Amud Beis is we're going to give just a little more hesber for each one of the five opinions. So my time and Tanakam and Mechti Minari Salik. So the Gemara here is really focusing on the Psukim and Parshas Re'eh. So as Rashi points out, so the Torah already outlines the three regalim earlier in the Parsha, meaning in Parshas Re'eh. Right, look at the top Rashi over here. Kishamar Kasav Shosh Pamim Bashana Yurei Kozuchorcha Bechagamatos Mehem Haya Ola Kvar Kasav Lamala Beinyan Shemor Zechorish Aviv Shiva Shavos Tisparlach Chaga Sukkos Taselach. So already the Torah outlines the three regalim, and then afterwards, then says that three times a year you're going to see me, and it goes through the three Yamim Tovim again, and we're back in the Gemara. Lama leilamehadro mechtav, so for the Torah now to repeat bechagamatzos vechagashvus vechagasukos shmamina leval teacher. So what the Torah is telling us is that when you go over three Yamim Tovim, so now you're in violation of Baal Te'achar. So according to the Tanakhama, that's why the Torah repeats. Rabbi Shimon Amar Einu Tzarich Lomer Bechagasukos Shebo Dibra Kasov Lama Nemar Lomer Sheze Acharon. Now according to Rabbi Shimon, so it just finished with Chagasukos, and now again it goes back to Chagasukos. So Rabbi Shimon says, not only do I agree that the Torah is repetitive, but specifically ending on Chagasukos, so that comes to tell me that it's Sheze Acharon. So in other words, it's not just three Yamim Tovim, but three Yamim Tovim in this particular sequence of Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. Which means now that if you make your neder immediately after Pesach, so now the next Sukkos the next Shavuos and Sukkos is not going to count because it has to be three Yamim Tovim in the sequence of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Okay. V'Rabbi Meir, my time adichsiv avat Hashem ve'veisam Shama. So as far as Shitas Rabbi Meir is concerned, so he says, look, the pasuk says that you'll go to Yerushalayim, you go to the Beis Hamikdash, and you're going to offer your karban. And then, ... and failure to do so will result in Baal Te'achar. V'Rabbanan Ha'ulah say, so, and the Chachamim will counter and will say, look, I'm with you. There is a positive commandment to bring a carbon when you go to the Beis HaMikdash. But we're not talking about the mitzvah system. We're not talking about the positive commandment to bring a carbon. And not just a carbon, but to be Mekayim your neder. You make a neder, so now there's a mitzvah system to be Mekayim your neder, the first opportunity you're in the Beis HaMikdash. However, I'm describing the Isser of Baal Te'achar. The Isser of Baal Te'achar, that's different. That's Gemara Regalim. The Rebbe Meir came and Amar Le Rachmana Aisei, Velo Aisei Mimela Kamle Bebaal Te'achar. And as far as Rebbe Meir is concerned, the positive commandment, the negative prohibition, so they're linked. Meaning once you're bound by the mitzvah sesei to bring a carbon, you're also going to be bound by the law of the Torah of Baal Te'achar. The Rebbe Lazar Ben Yaakov, my time, so far now we've explained three of the five opinions. We have two more to go. According to Shitas Rebbe Lazar Ben Yaakov, so it's two yontifs. Why two yontifs? So, dichsiv, Eila ta'asel Hashem ha-mo'adechem, miyut mo'adim shnayim. So it says mo'adechem. And we know that when you have a plural and the Torah doesn't specify, so we always go with two. V'rabanan ha'hu lichad Rab Yona. Now the Chachamim will say, look, that pasuk is dedicated to teach me a different point. Notably, Amar Rabbi Yona, Huksha Kulam Moadim Kulam Zelazeh, a hekesh of the Moadim one to another, Shekulam Echaprim, Maltumas Mikdash Vekadashav, that when you bring your carbon chatas, not your carbon chatas, but when you bring the carbon chatas, every yantiv, so the function of the carbon chatas in yantiv is to provide kapara for Tumas Mikdash Vekadashav. If somebody inadvertently walked into the base of Mikdash while in a state of Tumah, so that needs kapara, and so the Karmen Chatas of Yantav is going to provide Kapara. Which Yantav? Hukshu Zeh Lazeh. Every Chatas of every Yantav is there to provide that kind of Kapara. First two Prakim Shavuos, if you recall, that was a long time ago. First two Prakim Shavuos dedicated to this one particular topic. V'Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon Maitaima. And now we're up to the fifth opinion. So the fifth opinion is that Sukkos is the end-all, be-all of Baal Te'achar. So the Tanya, Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon Amar Lo Yomer Chagasukos Shabo Dibra Kasov Lama Nemar Lomer Sheze Gorem. So Rebbe Lazar Ben Yaakov, Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon also notes that in Parshas Re'eh the Torah is repetitive, also is focusing on Sukkos, but only Sukkos, meaning it's Sukkos and only Sukkos which one triggers off Baal Te'achar if they pass over Sukkot without bringing their carbon. V'Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov hay b'chag Matzos v'chag Shavuos uv'chag Sukkot may darshe bei. Now, according to the Shitas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so what do they do with the repetitive nature of Parshas Re'eh? So the Gemara says, "Mibay lelichad Rabbi Elazar, I'm Rabbi Yoshia, I'm Rabbi Elazar, I'm Rabbi Yoshia, minayin latzar sheish lo tashlamim kol shiva." They use it, meaning both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar bar Yaakov. So they use it to teach me a different point, notably the halach of tashlamim, meaning on Pesach and on Sukkot, if you do not bring your karbanos in the beginning of the yantov. Now here we're talking about your karbanos. That we're talking about the olas ri'ah, the karban chagiga. We just spent some time in Masechta Beitza talking about those karbanos, right? Dav chaf, chaf alef, somewhere around there. So the so those karbanos. Now if you don't bring them on the first day of yantov, and remember machlokas beis Hillel and beis Shammai, what exactly can you bring on the first day of yantov? But if you don't bring them on the first day of yantov, so you have makeup days. You could bring it on any of the other days of yantov. So for Pesach, you have 7 days. For Sukkot, you have 8 days in which you could bring it. Now, what about Shavuos? Meaning, what if you don't bring on Shavuos? So what do you do? So there's Tashlama for Shavuos as well. Yeah, but there's no Yantav, there's no Chol HaMoed. So what do you, so there's Tashlamim? And the answer is, yes, there is. So Tamalomer, v'chaga matzos, v'chaga Shavuos, v'chaga Sukkos, mekesh chaga Shavuos, v'chaga matzos, ma'chaga matzos, yeshlo Tashlamim, kol Shiva av chaga Shavuos, yeshlo Tashlamim, kol Shiva. So just like there's 7 days of Tashlamim for Pesach, and Pesach is in the same Pasuk as Shavuos, so we have what's called a Hekesh. And that Hekesh comes to tell me that there's Tashlamim for Shavuos as well. The Gemara says, okay, just one quick question. V'lekesh l'chaga Sukkos. So the Gemara says, look, why don't we make a Hekesh to Sukkos? Sukkos has 8 days of Tashlamim. So ma l'halan shmona afkan shmona shmini regal b'fnei atzmahu. So the Gemara says, well, you know the eighth day of Sukkot. You know that's not part of Sukkot. You know that's not a day for Tashlumim. The Gemara says, no, it is. Eimer damin shmini regel b'fnei atzmo linyan pazar kashav. Okay, so I know that there's some identities of Shmini Atzeres that give it an independent identity. I'm aware of that. In six different aspects, tomorrow's daf, we'll start off with going over the six. In six different aspects, so Shmini Atzeres is regel b'fnei atzmo. But that's just on six aspects. But fundamentally, what is Shmini Atzeres? Just think of the name. It's the eighth day of Sukkos. Okay, I understand. There's no lulav, there's no sukkah, but it's still the eighth day. Avalein tashlumim divrei kol tashlumim marishanu did none. It's a mishnah. Okay, we just saw the mishnah back in Beitza. Mishlo chag yom tov rishon shalchag kol geg es kol haregel v'yom tov ha'achron shalchag. So you have 8 days. You have 8 days to make up. If you don't bring your chagiga and your olas ri'ah on the first day, you can bring it on the eighth day. To which the Gemara's response is, you're right. So Sukkos, you do have 8 days. So again, let's reset the question. So I know now that there's a hekesh telling me that there's tashlumim on Shavuos. If you don't bring your chagiga and olas ri'ah on the first day of Shavuos, and I say the first day, it's the only day of Shavuos. So now you can make it up. How many days do you have to make up? Well, I have a choice. I can either go with the 7 days of Sukkos, the 7 days of Pesach, or the 8 days of Sukkos. So which one are we going to choose? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you which one we're going to choose. So you should be conservative. Okay? So tafasta meruba, lo tafasta, tafasta meruba, tafasta. So good. So the Gemara says is that to elect, you have a choice between seven and eight. So you take eight, it's too much. So take seven. Okay? Be conservative. Okay, and also tomorrow I'll go over a couple of svaras of why that is, why we need to choose a smaller number. Okay, let's quickly recap. We're going to end off a little bit early today. We spent first half of our daf talking about how Koresh / Daryavesh / Artaxasta. So he was a good king, but then he soured. And the first half of today's daf went over numerous psukim throughout Sefer Ezra, Nehemiah, Daniel, all outlining and detailing where exactly do we see that he went south, that he was machmitz, that he soured. The second half of today's daf, so the Isra Bal Te'acher, meaning that our Mishnah tells us that the first day of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for Regalim. So first of all, we don't mean the first day of Nisan. Obviously, we mean Pesach itself. Okay, good. All right, but Lamai Hilchasa, the Isra Bal Te'acher, that if you pledge to bring carbon and you do not bring it by a certain point in time, so now you're in formal violation of the Isra Bal Te'acher. Okay, so when is that going to be? Okay, no less than 5 different opinions in today's daf amongst the Tanaim in terms of when one violates the Isser of Baal Te'achar. The Gemara introduced us to the 5 opinions. The Gemara went through the how each one of them is going to be darshing their position from Psukim. What does each one do with the other Psukim that are being darshan? Good. That's the Amud base.